This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome back to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. I'm glad to be on this journey together with you. What started as an idea has now become the start of a movement. My mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, and because of that, I'm so grateful to all my amazing guests and listeners from all over the world. Thank you. Get ready to get inspired, because here we go. But before we get started, let's give it up to our new sponsor, Panos Emporio. Panos Emporio is Scandinavia's leading swimwear brand and has over 30 years of experience in swimwear. They offer bikinis, swimsuits, swim shorts, briefs, cover-ups, accessories, along with a fragrance collection inspired by Paradise Islands. The brand has a worldwide loyal customer base with dedicated followers ranging from Hollywood stars and top celebrity models to world-famous athletes and royal families. Go to panos.com to learn more. Today's guest is the founder of the outstanding beverage, Jinja, made of fresh ginger, cayenne pepper, green tea, lemon, and mint. Within 6 months of launching Jinja in the small bottle format, it was put into national distribution through Whole Foods, and shortly afterward, into conventional grocery store distribution by Kroger and Albertsons, driving up unprecedented growth for the brand. Jinja has been featured on ABC News, Fox News, CNBC, and The Doctors. Due to the success of Jinja's digital marketing platform, Ruben is called upon by other brands to advise on improving their digital marketing efforts. When business isn't calling, he's pursuing his newest hobbies, stand-up comedy and singing. His most recent performance was at the Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles. Welcome, Ruben.
Thanks.
That's quite the introduction.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
And that was the short one, right?
Yeah, that was a short version. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's always so fun to sit down here with people like you who've done a lot in their life and just talk and discuss and share ideas. So the first question I want to talk to you about is who you really are as a person, just to get a little bit of introduction of who you are.
Got it. Who am I? I'm a kind person, compassionate, very thoughtful. I spend a lot of time doing introspection, because I think that processing what happens every day is where that real wisdom comes from. So I think it really helps to wake up early, because getting a jump on the day, that's the gift that I give myself. I think that's a part of that's a defining part of me, is waking up extremely early.
What's extremely early for you?
Well, for me, 4:30. Yeah, that's I think that's one of those things that has been consistent over my life. I'd have to say that's a part of who I am, and I think of that as my me time until about 7:30. So you can actually think through all the stuff that you want while you're doing really monotonous stuff, like, you know, tidying up or sweeping your deck. But it's all the stuff that you really wouldn't do if you're waking up at 7 o'clock, just starting the day with the rest of the world. I'm very curious. Most of the time, when there are challenges, one of the ways that I deal with them is always asking, well, what if we could figure out a way to deal with this? You know, the bigger the better. Just because, you know, you have the opportunity to deal with small problems or big problems. Like, do you want your world to be small or big? And why not deal with the big ones? And what I found is, when you actually do take on big problems or big challenges, the small ones just have a way of working themselves out, you know? So it's like you're choosing what level that you want to work at. And I think when you do that, there's a lot of opportunities to contribute to the success of others.
Yeah. No, I really like everything that you're saying now, because I'm actually working on a book
with morning routines. Mm-hmm. And it's based on the people that I meet on the podcast and why do successful people wake up early? And it's funny, like 90% of the people that I met here on this podcast that are highly successful in their field, they wake up early because they want that me time. They want to contemplate. They want to think. They might want to work out, meditate. So what is really success? Okay, that's the hard part. And I meet so many people that have financial success, or maybe they have a law degree, they work as a lawyer just like you, or they have this business, but who am I as a person? Am I successful spiritually, mentally, physically? And having all those things together, it's so freaking difficult. But I want to learn that. I want to have a fulfilled life. It's not all about having the best business, or you want to have good relationships. You want to feel good with yourself and you want to find some type of balance in your life. But how do we do that? And how do we get out of that, you know, looking at our emails, looking at our orders all the time?
That was some of the interesting stuff that came out of going down into the Amazon was I stopped worrying altogether about tomorrow. I mean, it just, the only thing that was there when I would think about stuff that was future related was everything leading up to this was meant to be. If you could follow a thread from early in life that led up to this moment. And if you think about it, some of the experiences you've had, these things were meant to happen like two meteors in space traveling for a million years were meant to collide. You know, like the sort of timing that was involved in every step of the way, like all the choices that you made. And, you know, that started to give me some insight on what was going to happen in the future, which was in these moments that were significant, the part that I played in them was showing up. And a lot of the success in my company, it wasn't things that I planned for at all. When I first started, I mean, you know, you first start with a plan. And as my marketing chief says, he says, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. You know, and then you start to learn the nature of fate, which is, had I not shown up at this place at this time, whatever was supposed to happen in order to move things forward to the next day would not have happened. And I mean, these are significant things that were like totally unrelated to this gnawing feeling of, I don't know if what I'm going to do is going to work out tomorrow. Like, that was of so little substance or so little significance in the things that really moved the needle. You know, the stuff that moved the needle was there was this moment in time, and it's almost like you come to those nexus points, and you've got two choices of either to orbit around the edges and avoid it, or step into it. And, you know, stepping into it, that's the beauty of how wide open the future is. You know, I'm like, I want this little thing, but finally understanding that there's so much more that is waiting. As long as I don't get so transfixed on this little itty bitty thing that I'm looking for as my goal, like it's insignificant. And it's also one of those, it actually answers a statement that I'm going to say in a second, but it's very little fulfillment in that, which is pretty counterintuitive to the idea of I get fulfillment out of achieving my goals.
So you're saying that's not true?
No, I don't think that's true at all.
But what is fulfillment then?
I think fulfillment is the beauty of that unknown of tomorrow. You know, leaving that unknown, and then that's where you find yourself, which is, this is who I am in a situation where I'm totally off balance, but this is where I find out. It's not a routine where I'm on cruise control, where it's like rinse, repeat, I got to this level. You know, there's a saying that if you follow any path precisely to its end, you will arrive exactly nowhere. And it's the reason why you don't climb to the top of the mountain. You climb the mountain enough to determine it's a mountain, but no more. Because if you climb to the top of the mountain, you're exactly nowhere. You can't even see the mountain. You don't even know the mountain exists. And that's the thing about it is that, you know, you set a path. And then along the way, what everybody finds is this path evolves. And just like water, which is something that you have to be adaptable, is that where you set out for is not where you really are going to end up if you really are playing this game right. It's going to be something that is totally evolved. Like, I mean, a simple example is a guy wanted to start a record label, and now he's got TV stations, and it's, you know, his success is much more, it's wildly expanded beyond this transfixed goal of rinse, repeat. I'm just going to stay in this narrow way of existing with, you know, this specific goal. Like, goals change and they have to evolve, because the person that you were when you set a goal is not going to be the person that you are tomorrow. And, you know, there's a saying, I think it's a Hebrew saying, which is to judge a man by who he was yesterday is not to see who he is right now. It's really unfortunate when we do it to ourselves, when we say, I set this goal, and even though it feels less and less gratifying because my desires have evolved, or the significance of this, you know, you start a business and there's this financial, there's this, appearance thing. There's a lot of things going on, but as the business grows and evolves, your perception of what's important changes. Like, you know, for me, I'd never really felt a lot of satisfaction out of, you know, any of those tangible accolades, like, you know, first in class and real property, or, you know, winning a football game, or this or that. You know, you have those momentary spikes, but it's not like you can look back on that and say, you know, it didn't give me the same satisfaction as when I finally completed everything about the first rendition of Ginger, which is I picked the color of the cap, designed the label with a graphic designer. Like, she gave me 10 different designs, and it's basically like colors on a palette. I pulled out different things from each one. I was like, that's it. And then had it.
That was the moment that felt.
Yeah, that was actually like one of the most gratifying moments that I can remember, because me doing something for an assignment, what are you talking about here? We're talking about me and 20 other people are doing the same thing, and we're going to be judged according to someone determining who they think did it the best. You know, so it's, all right, I'm competing with somebody else. That's not really the satisfaction that you gain from just creating something that wasn't there.
I get it. And like a couple of weeks ago, I met with a motivational speaker, Sean Stevenson. He's amazing. And he met a guy, his friend, that loved music. But he was so down on his luck and his life. And Sean asked him, do you do this for fame and fortune? He said, no. And Sean said, but you act like it. You act like you're already doing music. You're already producing music. Do you think it's going to change just because you're a bigger name? You make more money? Yes, in the beginning. But at the end of the day, if you don't enjoy it now, you're not going to enjoy it later either. So I think that process of creating something, sometimes we forget. I was a world medalist in karate.
Yeah.
And some of my best moments was not the competitions. It was at the training, or when I lost, and like I felt that I was alive. It was so much pain. I was like, how can I go back?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Okay, the victories are fun, but at the end of the day, that is just some pieces of metal that I have in a box somewhere, you know? No one can take away the moments, or evolving myself as a human being, or creating something just like you did. And we were having a really deep conversation really early, because I love that you come across, and you are that deep person. I didn't know that because we don't know each other. This is actually the first conversation. We spoke on the phone at 10, 15 minutes, and already then I noticed that, like, okay, this guy is a deep person, and the reason I wanted you was for this, which I love.
He's gonna bring me some product. That's what it's gonna be about.
But now when we're talking, this is really interesting stuff, and most people think about these things, but they don't go for it like you have done. So, but let's talk a little bit about Jinja, and we're gonna go deep again, because I want to know what did you do? Do you think that was different that made people, like, marketing wise, really, oh, this Jinja, I gotta try this.
Oh, you saying, like, what have I done as far as consumers saying that, or other brands that are interested?
How do you get the attention of the consumer, like, marketing wise? What type of ideas did you have, and how did you implement them?
So the first one that we had was it was based on, there was this show called The Doctors, and like I said before, one of those moments where you can either step in or step around, you know, that nexus point in your story. They were shooting an outro at a big food expo that Kroger was having in Denver. And, you know, I was doing everything that I could to actually get on this show or get some media attention, because at the time, for a small brand, that's what actually drives awareness, is doing this. And, you know, I was just pacing outside of the convention hall trying to think of something else I could do. Like, I went back in the green room and put the product back there for Dr. Oz and Dr. Stork from The Doctors, and, you know, made sure I contacted, got in touch with their assistants while they were there, and had stuff at the press table. And then I'm sitting down now, and I look over and I see a woman doing this, and she's got a mic in her hand. And I'm like, that looks like an outro. And there's a camera guy. I was like, okay, so that's the camera guy, and that's the producer. And I looked at the mic, and I could see the big D, and I was like, oh, that's The Doctors. That's a correspondent. They're doing an outro. And I just said, all right, well, how would you do this? And I just thought it through, and I said, wait until they're done. Once you see them starting to talk, you walk up to them, you politely interrupt them, you explain who you are, what you do, and, I mean, within 10 minutes, they're following me with the whole crew into the convention hall to actually do a story right there. And the story didn't air, and I stayed in touch with the producer for the next 3 months. And at first, I'm sending him these sales pitch emails, and I'm getting no response. And then I just, it was the beginning of December, and I was like, let me just be authentic. And so I said, look, I gave you a bottle. I know you liked it. I know you're out. If you send me your address, I'll send you some more. So he sent me, within 3 minutes, a response. And then I said, good, now your whole staff's going to get addicted, and then you're going to have me on the show. And that's how the real conversation started. And the video footage that came from them having it on the show, it was almost like they were doing a total endorsement of our product for like 2 minutes. So we used that as the basis of our Facebook advertising. And, you know, what we do is, if people are interested, you know, we take them to the site and we collect email addresses, because the value of somebody's email address is you don't have to pay to market to them again. This is someone that's interested in your product, and the person most likely to buy a new product from you is someone who's already purchased a product. So that's important. So as the email list grows and you have promotions, people are looking for the promotion. And once you let them know that it's there, they go and they purchase. And so those are the basics, you know, but how it was explained to me is you have to make an ecosystem. And the ecosystem is you have to have your advertising, your emails, but then also your web store. And these things all work together as far as, you know, feeding each other.
So this is a cool story. So you had to work on that for like a long time to get on Doctors, right?
It was a 3 month process, when it comes down to it, we're talking maybe 3 hours of time, but it's not about my schedule. And that's one thing. That's another thing that came out of the Amazon, is things don't need to happen on my schedule. And me accepting that this is a benevolent universe that is not looking to harm me, I'm okay with whatever time schedule it's on. I don't get mad in traffic anymore. It just, I'm like, I get there when I'm supposed to get there, and that's that. And this didn't happen now. There's one reason that I know with a certainty that it's okay that it didn't happen. Because if it was supposed to happen, it would have. And because it didn't happen, it wasn't supposed to. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because if there was something wrong with that, I'd be dead right now. And that's how you know that it's okay, that there's nothing wrong with whatever happens in your day.
I love that when you really believe in that, that's perfect. But what would you tell people that don't believe in that? People that say, no, I create my own future. This is what I'm doing, you know?
I'd say if that's working for you, if you like it, I love it. However, anything that you can create can be taken away in the next moment, and you have absolutely no control over that. And, you know, if you take a far enough look back, you know, there's a lot of circumstances that we were situated in that really do drive our choices. No matter the essence of who you are, you know, if I actually grew up in Silicon Valley, I'd probably still have my own company. It'd be a company of a different nature. Or maybe it wouldn't. I mean, if you look at the path that I took from electrical engineering in college to law, it seems like I was doing everything to avoid something that I've loved doing since I was a kid, which is, you know, creating magic, you know, like using nature and my relationship with nature and my belief in it, which it's tempered with rational thought. But I think that without an acceptance of that we all have an individual path if we choose to walk it, something that's really fulfilling, then all the rational thinking in the world is not going to get you what you really want, you know, and what you really want is a feeling. It's not tangible. You know, that thing that warms you up inside is not tangible.
I think, like, it's so true what you're saying. And if I look at my own life and, like, most of my, like, big life-changing moments has not been something I have planned. Yeah. I spend so much time planning, setting goals. I'm all about goals and all of this that we talked about. But now when I'm talking with you, it's like a lot of my biggest things in life, I couldn't have planned for those things, you know? Of course, I showed up for life, just like you showed up. You contacted doctors. You found another way, you know? Shit, I gotta be personal, you know? And that is something that we forget. We want to pitch everybody all the time. Why can't you just be you? You know, sometimes it works. That's why we're sitting here.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Yeah, that's important to know. I mean, it's important to embrace, too, because... I don't know. I got a really terrific friend that I went to school with, and he's like he's a life coach, and he's like, he said something to me yesterday, or not yesterday, but a couple of days ago about not being attached to the outcome of something that he was doing, and I was like, that's healthy, because I think it's the attachment to the outcome that brings pain, you know, but not being so much attached to the outcome, but being very, very attached to who you want to be when you show up, you know, like that's important. That I think is the most important thing, is that when this moment comes, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And I'm okay with that, but I'm going to be 100% here for whatever is going to transpire. And I'm going to be fully engaged in it. If I chose to do this, I'm going to be fully engaged. And it's almost, how can you compete with that?
I love that. So I want to thank you, Ruben, so much for being here today.
It means my pleasure coming on, Peter. I enjoyed this.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. And it was a lot of conversations that I didn't expect today.
Yeah,
but it became actually more authentic and more real. And I want to share this because this is what life is about. And I think if you can have the outlook on life that you're having now and be authentic with that, I think... You're gonna have a great life. So thank you for that.
And yeah, my pleasure.
I want to thank everybody for listening in today. And also thank you to panos.com for sponsoring us. So talk to you soon, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.